But we've been walking through and following through with the Holy Spirit over these weeks. And last week we talked about the gift of tongues. And we looked at the Ephesian church and we looked at the Corinthian church. And this morning we want to touch briefly on the gift of prophecy. I know in some of your groups as you were talking last week, you're going, well, what is prophecy? Or we have an idea of what prophecy is. Or I've always thought that prophecy was this. But we want to follow up on that this week and just talk about that this morning and then in your small groups this coming week. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So if you want to turn there in your Bibles, we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Beginning at verse 1, it says this, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up." May the Lord Jesus add blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Now we know in this context, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to the Corinthian church. Last week, we touched on the Corinthian church a little bit, but we are in Ephesus with the Ephesian church. And we know there's the temple of Artemis in the Ephesian church, and that it was a very, the church itself, the town itself was very superstitious and into magic. We know that a lot of people were coming out of the temple of Artemis that was a religious, prostitution, that's not exactly it, but it was a promiscuous religious temple cult. And so people were coming out of that context and being saved and coming to the church. Well, we have the same thing here in Corinth. We have the temple of I don't want to cover it, it's not Artemis, but we have the temple of, I wrote it down here, sorry, Aphrodite. And it's another religious cult that had 1,000 female priests who engaged in religious prostitution with both local and foreigner alike. To be from Corinth and to be a girl was not probably a good thing, because what you would be called and known as was a Corinthian girl. And that was not a good thing because it pointed directly to the temple. In this context, we find the Corinthian church that Paul plants growing. It's reaching into the community. And as a result, as we read in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we have a church that is a little messy. Not just a little messy, it's pretty messy. But it's a church that is reaching and being effective into the culture of where they are. People are coming out of the temple and coming into the church and discovering Christ and following him. But just like the Ephesian church, the Corinthian church, there is a whole lot of things about spiritism and magic. And all of these things, to be a Corinthian or Corinthianized was to pursue values, resources, goods, treasure. The city itself was one of the largest in the Roman Empire. It was about 50 miles west of Athens. It was a major city of trade, science, culture, and activity. People in the church themselves, they're showing off their gifts. They're particularly the gift of tongues. They're trying to outdo one another. And like we said, the church seems to be a mess. Corinth itself was a place of collection of peoples There was Greeks, there was Romans, there was Jews, there was Egyptians, there were Syrians. People flocked to the city. And by the end of the second century, it was one of the richest cities in the world. So you get an idea of what Corinth was. Even though it was so rich and valuable in these things, it was also rich in wickedness. Of the culture, it embraced immorality, a degradation of value of the human being. You were just a number. It abounded in heathenistic customs, traditions, religions, and rituals. The thing in the Corinthian church is this, is that instead of building up the church, they were building up themselves. They were edifying themselves to the neglect of the church. They were neglecting prophecy. And they were giving the wrong emphasis to the gift of tongues. A New Testament prophet was not only one who told or foretold the future. Old Testament prophets did more than that. Prophets received God's message through the Holy Spirit and communicated that message to the church. So these people were interested in these things. Interested in the Spirit. They were familiar with priestesses and priests who would speak the word of a God. So this is what we have in Corinth. The church is messy, but it's being effective. It's reaching into the community. And Paul is correcting the church. It seems like he's condemning the church more than he is congratulating the church. But when a church is being effective in its culture, there's going to be some issues that come up that need to be addressed. And so we find in chapter 14 that it's this whole talk about prophecy and tongues and gifting of the Spirit. Well, what's the difference between prophecy and tongues? Well, Paul says prophecy builds up the church. Speak to one another, tongues, you speak to God. The believer who prophesies shares the word with the church and helps those to listen and be built up. Prophecy edifies the church. Paul says tongues only edifies the speaker, unless there's an interpretation. In this whole chapter, in chapters 12 through 14, Paul's biggest thing is this, that the church be edified, that the church be built up. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, greater is the one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. In Paul's thoughts, the most important thing is that the church is edified. That it is built up. Do you remember and realize that back then, during that time, people didn't have Bibles? The New Testament was being written, and the Old Testament scrolls were expensive. You couldn't just go down to the corner store and pick up a scroll of Isaiah. God spoke directly to his people through the prophets. The three gifts of knowledge, prophecy, and tongues that a prophet worked under worked together to convey the truth to the people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, we have this. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be away. So prophecy, words of knowledge, and tongues work together to proclaim the truth of God to the people. They didn't have a Bible like we do today. What does it mean to prophesy? Well, what was a prophet to begin with? Any idea? How would you term a prophet? A prophet was one who heard God speak and relayed his message, plain and simple. Prophet is one who hears God speak and relays his message. The prophet Joel, one of God's prophets, foresaw a time when and where God would pour out his Spirit on all his people. And all his people would prophesy. Not just one particular one, not just a select few, but when all people would experience the Spirit and prophesy. He says this in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. It will come about after this that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. That would have been exciting to hear. And Peter quotes Joel in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. When he's preaching and the people think, well, these guys, they're all drunk. And he says, no, they're not drunk. In fact, it's the Spirit of God that is upon them. To prophesy is to hear from God directly for oneself and for others. The function of prophecy. Well, what's the difference? There is the prophetic of telling what's going to come and what's going to happen. But there's also warning from God's word. God told me to tell you this. We see in the Old Testament where we have Hezekiah is warned. We have Ahaz and Ahab are warned. We have Isaiah and Ezekiel. We have all the minor prophets. They were all spokesmen for the word and for God. They spoke his word. Well, what's the difference in prophecy? There's one that is to foretell. To foretell is to foretell of the things to come. It's to declare truth through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, whether by prediction or otherwise. It's a responsibility of the prophet, but in prophecy, there's also the office of a prophet. So to foretell is those things to come. To declare truth that the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, whether by prediction or otherwise, what he's told. It is what Joel chapter 2, 28 through 29 talk about. The Spirit of God will come upon you, and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Foretelling, on the other hand, is the proclaimer who speaks out of the counsel of God, speaking in God's name and having received a direct message from him to deliver. Not primarily the one who foretells things to come, but having been taught of God, speaks out his will. It's like picking up scripture and saying, well, this is what God's word says. It's more than preaching, but it's not predicting and casting forth like the prophets. There's a difference. One may prophesy without being a prophet. Prophets, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, are not primarily one who foretells things to come, but who, having been taught of God, speak out his will. We see that in Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. The goal of prophecy, or what prophecy should actually accomplish, the one speaking prophecy, who hears God speak, is this that the Apostle Paul records in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, verse 14:3 specifically. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consultation. That's the purpose of prophecy in the New Testament, New Testament times, is to edify the body, to exhort the body, and to give consolation to the body, comfort. Three functions. Edification builds up Christian character. Exhortation speaks moral precepts and warnings. And comfort gives encouragement to people in sympathy. So then the question is, do I hear God? To hear God speak is the norm of all people living in the fullness of the Spirit, we are told. As the prophet Joel said and the apostle Peter reaffirmed. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. All people. Not just prophets or apostles or pastors, but on all people. Young, old, men, women, children alike. So the question is, am I living in the fullness of the Spirit? Have we sought to be filled with the Spirit? We have the Spirit at salvation when we believe and accept Jesus as our Savior, but there is a further filling of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit as we're taught. This prophecy is an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not the evidence, it is an evidence, just like tongues is an evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And listening to God or hearing God, as we've been talking, hearing His voice is that interactive relationship which is crucial and real. Do I believe that God speaks to me today? Is the question. Do I believe that? Or does He only speak through Scripture? That is speaking as well. For the Holy Spirit authored and inspired the Scripture. But does He speak in a voice? Does He speak audibly? Does He whisper? Does He speak through other people? Does He speak? Does He speak to me? Do I believe it? Scripture says yes, yes He does. The real question is whether or not I hear Him or I'm willing to hear Him. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, that His sheep would hear His voice. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Jesus went on further to say in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So what's this saying? On whose behalf does the Holy Spirit speak? Because He does. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 13 to 15, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, Jesus. For He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So what does that mean? The Holy Spirit is Jesus' voice today. Jesus has this relationship with the Father. And what the Father says, Jesus said, I do. I listen to the Father. And what Jesus says to the Spirit reiterates and tells to us. So Jesus does speak to you today. The Father speaks to you today through the Holy Spirit. Do I believe this? What the Father speaks, Jesus knows. And what Jesus knows and speaks, the Spirit knows and will speak to His sheep who hear His voice. So the question is, am I Jesus' sheep? Because Jesus says, my sheep hear My voice. The Holy Spirit is the voice of Jesus, is the voice of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God Himself. Do I hear Him? If Jesus is my shepherd, my Lord, my Savior, He has sent the vessel through which you can hear Him speak, the Holy Spirit. If I choose to love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, my mind, and seek to keep His commandments, the obligations, Jesus says what? He will manifest Himself to that lover, to that sheep. John 14:21 says, whoever has My commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves Me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and what? Manifest myself to him. Do I love Jesus? Interesting that that is the key chapter that Paul reiterates. In between chapter 12 and chapter 14, when he's talking about prophecy and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what comes smack dab in the middle? We talked about it last week. Chapter 13, on love. And Paul speaks to the Corinthian church. He says, in the very first verse of chapter 14, he says, what? Pursue love. You're using these gifts and the gifts of the Spirit not in love. It's all about you. It's all about you. Like we said, they may be showing off. Look what I've received. Look what I've got. But is that loving? Paul says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may, what? Prophesy. That you may edify and build up one another. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, which is good. But no one understands him. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. But on the other hand, the one who edifies and builds up and encourages speaks to the people for that very purpose. And that's what I want you to pursue. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies does what? Builds up the church. And Paul is essentially saying, that's love. He says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more I want you to speak in prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. Unless someone interprets so that the church may be what? Built up. Edification. That's what it's all about with the gifts of the Spirit. So it comes back to this whole question, do I love Jesus? If I love Jesus, then I obey his commands and I'll keep them. And I will also be able to hear and listen to the Spirit and hear Jesus speak. Jesus says in John chapter 14, 15 to 17, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But he says, you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. The Spirit is in you. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we taking time to cultivate that relationship with the Spirit? To hear Jesus speak. To hear the Father speak. How do I know what I need to do or when I need to go or how I need to go about doing it if I don't inquire of God? How do I know I'm on the right track? I need to inquire of God. He gives us his general revelation, the scriptures, the Bible. Those things that he covers in the Bible, we don't necessarily need to go to him and go, okay, should I really love my neighbor? No, he already painted it in here. He said, you need to love your neighbor. Should I covet what my neighbor has? No, it's covered in here. Says, don't covet what your neighbor has. This is his word. But it's like we asked this morning, is the Christian life always about what's right and what's wrong? Is it? How do you make a decision when you have two good things? What do you use? It's not an issue of right and wrong. It's an issue of what is wise. And you can ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? Pastor Andy Stanley wrote a book called The Greatest Question Ever. And the whole point of the book was, what is the wise thing to do? because you don't usually always have a clear-cut decision and a clear-cut answer between what is good and what is good, or what is bad and what is bad. So how do you make that decision? Well, what's the wise thing to do? Considering my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do today? My past experiences with God, my future hopes and dreams with God, what is the wise thing to choose today? So, we seek to know the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ we know through the Spirit. But we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to take a posture that I'm willing to hear and accept whatever you have to say. It's not a position of I'll listen if it's good for me, or if I deem that it's good for me. Then in a lot of cases, the Lord may not speak. Or he may not speak about the thing that you want him to speak about. And he's drawing you to something else because you need to deal with this first. A lot of that is called pride. I can do it. I know best. So do I have a relationship with the Spirit? If I have a relationship with Christ, I have a relationship with the Spirit already. I need to draw closer to the Spirit. So do I believe that the Spirit dwells within me and that he speaks today? Do I believe that I have a responsibility to seek after the gifts of the Spirit, especially that of prophecy, that exalts, that lifts up and builds up the church? Paul says that's what love is. Do I believe this? If we choose not to, then we put out the Spirit's fire and cast aside what is good and right. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 to 22, do not quench the Spirit. Did you know you can quench the Spirit? He says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Do not hold prophecy in contempt that God speaks today. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil. Why does the Apostle Paul say that? Because those in the Thessalonica church were quenching the Spirit. They were closing themselves off to the Spirit and therefore closing them off to Christ and to the Father. They were holding prophecy in contempt. They were being misled, just like those in the Corinthian church and in the Ephesian church. Paul says, God speaks, but you need to test everything to make sure it's him speaking. Hold fast to what is good. So then a question is, have I quenched the Spirit by not believing that he speaks? Or that he speaks in different ways? Have I put out his fire because I refuse to believe that he may speak in an audible voice to me today? Or in a whisper? Or have I made myself so busy and occupied myself to the nth degree that I cannot hear him speak? I can't hear him speak that whisper. Would I even recognize his burning bush if presented to me? Would I? He doesn't just speak to apostles or prophets or pastors or missionaries. He speaks to all people. And we see that from Ananias to Agabus. You guys remember who Agabus is? The prophet of God. He's the one that spoke to Paul. Paul was insistent that he was going to go to Rome and he needed to go back to Jerusalem, to Rome. And Agabus says, the man who owns this belt is going to be tied and suffer. He spoke prophecy. In order to receive a word from God, we must believe what? That he speaks, and that his Holy Spirit is his voice. To not believe that God speaks today through his Holy Spirit is to treat prophecy with contempt. It's to despise God's word. It's to refuse to take God at his word. It's to refuse to live abundantly. The Holy Spirit was given so that we might live abundantly. Do I refuse to believe and take God at his word? God speaks directly to us through his Spirit. Next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper into prophecy and talk about three parts of prophecy. How one receives a word from the Lord, how to interpret the word, and deliver the word. But prophecy is to function in three ways: to exhort, to edify, and to comfort the church. It's to build up the body and its members. It's to speak moral precepts of warning. It's to give encouragement. And Paul says, that is love. When a church does that, they're loving one another and loving well. The Apostle Paul strongly encourages us to pursue the gift of prophecy in order to build up and edify the body. It's not just for me to wear as a medal. Says, do this because you love Jesus. And he calls us to it. Prophets heard God's message and they relayed the message. Everyone can prophesy, but not everyone is a prophet. Prophets are selected and appointed by God into that office. Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, verse 6, to those gathered in that church, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If it's prophecy, according to the proportion of your faith. If it's tongues, speak in tongues. If it's to serve, serve. If it's mercy, give mercy. If it's grace, grace. But we are to exercise our gifts. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have built the body in such a specific way that each person has a role, has a function in your body. And whether it is tongues, whether it is prophecy, whether it is healing, all are given to build your body, to serve your body, to love your body. Lord, that we would do so. Father, I pray that your Spirit, as we seek you, as we draw close to you, would bless your church with your gifts. That you would bless us with the gift of prophecy. To edify, to love one another. As we draw close to you, Father, you say you draw close to us. May that be a reality. May you bless us this way. In your name we pray, Lord.